Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Okay, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. It's time for a conversation with Dr. Jeffrey Copen. He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Doctor, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great, John. You know, I'm thinking the people who are the proud owners of these mugs, the speed joke mugs, that's a great possession to have.
Yeah. I think in a lot of people's wills and estate plans now, they're having to rewrite them to see who gets the mug. And it can be very contentious. It's a hotly contested.
Oh, for sure. I can only imagine in a divorce situation, John. That really? Can hold up the final agreement.
And it's not the sort of thing you can split either. Somebody gets the mug and somebody does not. I thought you were going to crack wise on the joke about kidneys. You know, it's a hero if you donate one, but you come in with a dozen and it's a lot of questions. Listen to this, doctor. I think that people should be compensated for organ donations. What is your thought on that?
Yeah, this is a very complicated discussion. This is one of those subjects, John, where there's really good arguments on both sides. Putting a price on organs just doesn't feel right to the typical person, but at the same time, having a market for organs probably would make the supply of organs more plentiful, so more people who are waiting for organs would be able to get it. So this has been a subject that I'm aware of being in the medical ethics literature for probably 2.5 decades by now.
We say, well, you shouldn't profit on the donation of an organ, but the surgeons make money when they do the procedure. And you say, well, but it might prey on poor people who would sell, say, a kidney because they need $50,000. And I'm thinking, well, then give them $50,000. I can donate it and I'm a hero for free. Well, a kidney is a kidney. Whatever the motivation is, give up a kidney. And either you can take no compensation because it's your cousin, or you can take $50,000 because somebody else really wants it and the market value is 50 grand.
Yeah,
I know that's not why you came on today.
Health equity, obviously, this is a fraught subject, Mr. Williams. As usual, you never give me the easy ones. There are always these
not why we ask
challenging dilemmas.
Pick a side, sir. I want to scream at you. You know what? I know so many people who are coughing right now, and they go get tested for the flu. Or what's the new respiratory virus or COVID? And they don't have that, but they've just got something in their lungs. It might migrate up into their nasal cavity, but are you monitoring this? Have you heard a lot of that?
But we're in the cold season.
That's
now,
it, huh?
Right? We're in November. Yeah. There's a ton of plain old upper respiratory viruses around, the kinds of things that we all used to get before COVID. I know it's hard to believe, right, because it's been so long since we've been dealing with the whole COVID thing, but regular upper respiratory viruses, things like rhinoviruses and adenoviruses and the other coronaviruses, they're always around.
Okay.
And when we get into November, there's going to be a ton of it that's being transmitted from person to person.
Well, is there a set of symptoms that would say, aha, it's RSV, or aha, it's COVID, or the cold, or the flu, or should I care? I don't know. What is your thought about that?
Yeah, it's so hard. They're so similar. Any of these respiratory viruses have very similar symptoms. It's very difficult for us to differentiate one from the other, unless we're in a time where there's just a ton of something around. So, for example, Jim, when there's a lot of influenza around, we get to the point where if somebody calls and they have typical upper respiratory symptoms plus a fever, it's likely influenza. We don't have to test for it. But thankfully, we're not in that situation right now. So I wish I could give guidance to everybody how you would know which one you have.
Well, let me ask it this way, doctor, because if it's COVID and I've got it, then I think I know what to do. I'm going to ride it out, and 5 days later, hopefully I'm better. And the cold, there's not a lot you can do about but treat the symptoms. But if I had the flu, I think I might address it medicinally, right?
Yeah, so and, We do have medication for influenza. So if people, if we start to see that there's a lot of influenza around, it's worth to know if you have it, particularly right away, because your physician could actually prescribe a medication that could decrease the number of days that you're symptomatic. So that's really the argument for knowing that you have influenza.
And that's the fever. And is the fever the telltale thing that distinguishes it maybe from the others?
Well, you can certainly get fever with COVID, right? Yeah. We all know that. There's going to be people with RSV. I think that's the other virus you were thinking about, John.
Yeah.
Respiratory syncytial virus that we now have a vaccine for. People can actually get fevers with that. And we all know that sometimes we get unlucky with our body's response to a normal cold virus, and we might have a short-lived fever with that too. So it's hard to say that fever is a differentiator between the various types of viruses.
Wanted to talk to you about sleep. There's an experimental spinal cord implant that helps Parkinson's patients, at least one of them, walk in a new study. And maybe anything else you think we should know, generally speaking, about this transitional time in our health, Dr. Copen. If you've got a question too, 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Any last general advice about the seasonal stuff we're all going through, doctor?
We'll get through it like we always do, John. You know, it's nasty to get a cold or any of these respiratory viruses. As always, stressing vaccination, in particular for those people who are at greatest risk of getting sick. We can influenza, COVID, RSV vaccines, they're all available. I hope everybody gets it. Really does help if you get those vaccines. Might not keep you from getting infected, but it will definitely keep you from getting sick. And that's what we want more than anything else, to keep from getting sick. And other than that, you have the old advice. If you're going to be out in public and you're around a lot of people, make sure you wash your hands when you can. It's a common way to get regular viruses and the flu is by touching a surface someone else touched and then wiping our face, rubbing our eyes. So that's a good thing to make sure you wash your hands a lot. That doesn't mean you have to be obsessive about it, but it's a good thing to do when you can.
It's funny you mention that because as obsessive as we were about that at the beginning of the pandemic, we realized masks were really the frontier that we needed to guard against the most. But maybe we've kind of forgotten how important, especially this time of year, washing our hands can be. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes. You know, it seems like a simple thing, but it's not. And, you know, there's nothing fancy about washing your hands. We all know how to do it. Soap and water, it works really, really well.
Listen to this headline, experimental spinal cord implant helps Parkinson's patient walk in new study. Did you follow this story at all?
There's a group, neurologists, neurosurgeons, bunch of engineers in France and Switzerland that work together. And they have a patient who had advanced Parkinson's disease, which I believe he had for like 30 years, John. And he was having a heck of a time walking. People with advanced Parkinson's disease can have a hard time ambulating. So they actually put in a spinal cord stimulator, essentially electrodes directly on a spinal cord. It's a very invasive procedure. And then with a device that stimulates the part of his spinal cord that controls motion of the legs, the guy's able to walk again. I mean, it really is remarkable.
Yeah, I saw the story.
But the key thing here is we're watching the science and the engineering develop. This is not a cure for Parkinson's disease. Frankly, this isn't going to be a technique that we're going to see used commonly in the near future. But the idea that people are thinking about new ways to deal with diseases like Parkinson's disease, to help people with their mobility, allow them to live their lives, that's the critical piece. And I'm pretty certain there's going to be a lot of good downstream development that's going to come out of this invention that this group in Europe came up with.
How about that? The guy can walk 3 miles unaided now. It's amazing.
Right.
More questions like this and less questions about kidney transplants next week, doctor.
Okay, that's good. But we can always talk about kidney transplants, John, if that's what you'd like. And those of you with those mugs, enjoy.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern.